Welcome to the situation update for Monday, February 14th. It's Valentine's Day. Wow. 2022, Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger. Thank you for joining me on what I believe is the most important situation update that I have put out in maybe all of them. The information I'm going to go over very briefly here, kind of a table of contents of what I'm about to present here. This is life-changing information. It's bombshell. It's scary, but also hopeful. And it may very well save your life based on what's about to happen. So let me just start and explain why this is. So over the last few days, a virologist from Hong Kong, her name is Dr. Yin. She's Chinese. She's actually Dr. Yin Li Meng, but the way her name is spelled, most Americans pronounce it, I think, Li Meng Yan. Right, that's the normal American pronunciation. Actually, it's actually Dr. Yin, Yin Li Meng. So I'm just going to refer to her as Dr. Yin. Okay, and she has put out a warning through a couple of interviews, and we're also reaching out to her to do an interview with her. And in one interview, which we're going to play for you here, she says that China is releasing new biological weapons at the Olympics, exposing the participants from the different nations at the Olympics with a bioengineered bioweapon strain that has a long incubation period. Thus, when those people go home to their home countries, they're going to spread it over the next several months to unleash a whole new, you know, global freakout over, in this case, a hemorrhagic fever virus that, according to Dr. Yin, has been, you know, engineered by China. And now, you know, inoculated into the participants there at the Olympics. Okay. So that's the first part of this story. The second part, which Dr. Yin also made us aware of, is that there is a known cure or antidote to this new bioweapon that China has developed. And that antidote is a prescription drug that's sold by Johnson & Johnson. And the generic name is Daratumumab, which I know it sounds like, you know, your best friend from the Congo or whatever. I mean, it's a cool name, but it's actually the name of this drug, Daratumumab, or the brand name is Darzalex. And apparently only Johnson & Johnson has this drug, and this drug is very expensive and very difficult to get your hands on. And this drug targets a protein, a glycoprotein in the body known as CD38. So CD38, when it's overexpressed in the body, causes all kinds of problems. One of those problems is multiple myeloma cancer, which is what this drug, Daratumumab, is designed to treat. And it's approved to treat that, to treat multiple myeloma cancer under FDA guidelines. Well, I did quite a bit of research over the weekend looking for natural alternatives to that drug that would target CD38. And I found quite a list, and there's a very interesting complementary medicine doctor and author I'm going to cite here. And this individual has actually done all this research and has put out quite a list of certain molecules and foods, you know, from the world of plants and nutrition and healthy eating and so on, that can lower CD38 expression in the body. Now, the upshot of that is, and again, this is super early. I mean, we don't even have, that we know of yet, we don't even have a pandemic of a hemorrhagic fever. Although according to Dr. Yin, that's in the process of happening. And we can't know for sure whether these natural substances will suppress CD38 and therefore possibly save someone's life from whatever hemorrhagic fever is being released. So we can't know that yet, but we know that these natural substances that I'm going to talk about today, and by the way, I don't sell any of these substances. It's not, you know, it's not a commercial message. These are things you can find at the grocery store, some of them, well, quite a few of them. These are things you can grow yourself, by the way. You just have to know what they are. We're going to go through that list today, and I think these are research targets. So that if Dr. Yin is correct, and if we have this next wave of this biological warfare depopulation effort you know, COVID 2.0 now launched by China, let's say, but now it's hemorrhagic fever with a much higher kill rate, like maybe 30% kill rate, then there may, and I have to emphasize the word may, be natural substances that can protect us from those hemorrhagic fever nanoparticles or viral particles, whatever you want to call them, if we are exposed to them. So that's what I'm going to present here today. Again, the threat from China, how hemorrhagic fever works, the antidote in terms of the Johnson & Johnson drug, and then natural alternatives to the antidote. Okay? That's what you're going to get today here in the Situation Update podcast. And of course, I thank you for joining me today. I'm going to write a lot of this up, by the way, on naturalnews.com. So some of the molecules I'm going to name here are kind of difficult to remember or to spell. Just go to naturalnews.com. Usually that's going to come out a few hours after this podcast, sometimes later in the day, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, even 4 p.m. sometimes. Just depends on how long it takes me to write it. But I'm going to put all this in an article on naturalnews.com. So you'll be able to find it there and you can use that for your research. And I'll have all the citations and links there. In addition, we are reaching out to Dr. Yen. And if she or someone who knows her is listening to this, please ask her to contact us because we would like to do an interview with Dr. Yen to ask more detailed questions about some of the intel that she has and how she thinks this is going to work. And, you know, people say at least I'm a good interviewer because I have a lot of breadth of knowledge in these areas. And so I can ask a lot of questions. And plus, it's possible, and I say this laughingly, but it's possible I may be the only American who can pronounce her name correctly. Dr. Yen Limong. Like that's, nobody gets that right, but it's just because I speak Chinese. So, or enough Chinese. And then I have, you know, my crew from Taiwan that helps me read the Chinese characters. And, by the way, Dr. Yen's last name is this character that is very rare in, Chinese. Like almost nobody has a last name with that character. It's highly, highly unusual. All right. So before we get to all that, let me set the context of where we are right now. Our world is in real trouble for a lot of obvious reasons, but it's not just this possible release of another bioweapon. It's also the fact that Biden is trying to, you know, push us into war with Russia, which would be a tragic, horrific mistake. And that war could start literally this week. And over the weekend, we saw multiple nations ordering all their citizens and their diplomats out of Ukraine. And we saw airlines withdrawing permission to fly over Ukraine, withdrawing even insurance companies that insure airlines withdrawing permission. They would not insure airplanes flying over Ukraine because they're afraid those airlines would be shot down or possibly could be shot down or caught up in some kind of a war conflict. Things seem to be escalating very rapidly towards war over the Ukraine. And from what I can tell, it's NATO and Biden and Western forces that are trying to escalate this in a very, very desperate way, because it's like they want Russia to retaliate against an American false flag operation. They literally want Russia to strike America for reasons I've talked about in other podcasts, but we are in grave danger right now. The world could change. You could wake up like Wednesday morning and we could be in World War III. I mean, I hope that doesn't happen, but we're on the brink of that. So however crazy you think the last 2 years were, you need to up your crazy scale because it's going to get potentially way worse. And so you combine the bioweapon here, which could really impact us over the next several months or certainly this summer, and think about more government lockdowns and checkpoints and, you know, rounding up people into concentration camps and more forced vaccines, like the whole thing, but times 10. Think about that combined with World War III, and then the fact that the Biden regime would use that war as a cover story to unleash deep state cyber attacks on U.S. financial infrastructure in order to crash the entire banking system, crash the dollar, and accomplish the global financial reset that has been desired by these globalists for quite some time. that's another scenario that I'm very concerned about. We're not going to have a chance to get into all that today. Just too much to cover. But understand, we are on the brink of some very bad history unfolding right in front of our very eyes, because our world is run by freaking lunatics. That's why. Just totally freaking insane anti-human lunatics and mass murderers who build biological weapons, and they're trying to destroy America. They hate humanity. They're trying to achieve global depopulation and so on. And they're in charge somehow. Well, because they rig elections and, you know, kill their political enemies and so on. But importantly, zooming out of all this, we are not going to dwell on the crazy of all this. I made you that promise a few weeks ago. We're not going to dwell on how crazy this is. What we're going to do is acknowledge what's happening, especially from good sources like Dr. Yen and others. We're going to acknowledge this. We're going to look at the reality of what Biden and NATO are doing toward Putin, toward Russia, with Ukraine. We're going to acknowledge all this. We're not going to dwell on the doom of it, but we are going to use our knowledge and information in order to have proactive solutions for how we survive whatever insanity they have headed our way. So we're always going to be honest about the chaos that's coming, or the crazy that's coming, but we're going to use it as a way to kind of catapult ourselves into a position of greater awareness and greater preparedness so that we can survive these things. Okay, so I really just want to get that stated up front, because when I say things like, oh, we're at the end of days of human civilization as we know it, like we're at the end of the financial system as we know it. Actually, Edward Dowd said that recently, I think in an interview with Steve Bannon, and he's a former BlackRock executive, and I think he used a phrase like that. It's like, we're at the end of this era, or the end of days of this financial system. And he knows what he's talking about. And we are. So we are, there's a massive day of reckoning that's coming, because there will be so many delusions that will be shattered as this reality hits the fan. And it can be triggered by just one thing. It can be triggered by a bioweapons release. It can be triggered by a war with Russia. It can be triggered by a financial collapse. It can be triggered by a solar flare. It can be triggered by a false flag nuclear terrorism attack. Almost anything could trigger this at this point. And then the world that you once knew is no longer going to function, you know, with the convenience of the just-in-time delivery systems, the global supply chains, like cheap, affordable food because fuel is cheap and affordable and transportation works seamlessly and it's really affordable. And like that whole world is gone, folks. And right now, I hope you know, the stock market and most of the crypto market is just being propped up by cheap money, counterfeiting, even stablecoin digital counterfeiting, and of course, fiat currency counterfeiting, pumping up the stock market. All those systems are subject to being zeroed, or near zeroed, as this systemic failure kicks in. So the world you once knew is not going to be here. Understand that. So let me play for you, let's just start with this, a few minutes of the video of Dr. Yen as she's being interviewed by, let me get this right, J.D. Rucker, I believe. And it's a really great interview. I'm going to play about maybe 3 or 4 minutes, which is longer than I normally do. But, and by the way, Dr. Yen, she speaks, she's very intelligent. She speaks very fluently, but she has, you know, pretty strong kind of mainland Chinese, accent, as we would call it, as she's speaking English. So she's a little bit difficult for some Americans to understand. There's no fault of her own. You try speaking Chinese sometime, by the way, if you think it's easy to go from Chinese to English. It's not. Trust me. if you try speaking Chinese, you'd be so impressed with how well she's doing with English. But here's a few minutes of her explaining what's going on with J.D. Rucker.
And also, intelligence shows China also would launch such bio attacks during the Winter Olympics. That's why they put the athletes and participate in the bubbles. So this all this plan, and not only that, they pass all these things with different tactics. Like they create more troubles all over the world in this area. If you check, China has caused a problem with Russia, with other countries and Africa, whatever, gave trouble to the world. They promote the problems all over the world, and then they also will choose the right chance to launch the other bioweapons. So basically, they have the, they think, they believe they have found the target for therapy of one group of this hemorrhagic fever virus. And this is called, I have identified, also verified their, this kind of intelligence. It's called CD38. It is an enzyme which exists when, in people, in patients, if you get infected by such virus. So China believes this is a target. So they are using Johnson & Johnson's anti-CD38 cancer drug to repurpose it secretly to prepare to treat such disease. And now we can talk about the UK hemorrhagic fever case. And we are still...
Before you do that, I want to recap because you just said a whole lot of stuff. I want to make sure that I'm understanding and I want to make sure the audience understands it. So just to be clear, you're telling me that there is this new bioweapon that has, you know, been by new, I mean, new to us. Maybe they've been developing it for a long, long time, but there's this new bioweapon from the CCP, this hemorrhagic fever that it causes. And they have been testing it. They have perhaps seen it in the wild and they have possibly, or maybe you're certain, they have unleashed this during the Beijing Olympics in order to spread it around the world. Meanwhile, they have the antidote, which is a Johnson & Johnson cancer treatment that they've repurposed as a way to treat people with this. Did I get that all wrong or am I close?
Yes. Yes, exactly as what you summarized.
Okay,
they prepare the secret antidotes, and even Johnson & Johnson may not know this drug can be repurposed to treat hemorrhagic fever.
Okay, so by the way, to J.D. Rucker, I think he did a great job of summarizing what she was saying, so kudos to him for that. And for Dr. Yen, she is talking about this Johnson & Johnson drug, again, daratumumab, is the drug that can treat the hemorrhagic fever bioweapon that she says is being released by Communist China onto participants at the Olympics. And then, that drug is the drug target for something called CD38. That's CD as in Charlie David 38. Now, what is CD38? That's going to be the question that everybody's asking for the next 5 years. If China actually has released this bioweapon, what is CD38? How does it function? And how do you block it? So the Johnson & Johnson drug blocks the overexpression of CD38. And CD38 is known in the scientific literature as a, quote, transmembrane glycoprotein. It is said to play a role in cell adhesion. This is from ScienceDirect.com. Cell migration and signal transduction. It's also known as an ectoenzyme. That's from Ghostbusters, ectoplasm, yeah. Involved in generation of nucleotide metabolites such as ADP ribose. And then CD38 expression is highly upregulated on human plasma cells and especially on multiple myeloma cells. So if you have too much CD38, to put it kind of simply, and that was a joke about Ghostbusters, but too much CD38, you get cancer. You also get something called, inflammation and then something associated with accelerated aging. I think they call it ageflammation. I don't know. We're going to get to that. Ageflammation. It's like chronic inflammation as you age. Well, CD38 apparently is associated with that in a very strong way. You know what? Let me correct myself. We're going to get into all this and I'm going to geek out and we're going to talk about the natural substances and everything. But, for those of you getting prepared, I have to share the news with you today that after another month long wait, we do have, or more than a month, As of today at 12 noon central, we will have about 1,000 Ranger buckets available at healthrangerstore.com. And it's being launched as part of our Valentine's Day sale event, which there's some freebies given out if you place an order that's of sufficient size. I don't have all the exact numbers. It's free shipping in the 48 contiguous U.S. states, I think, for any order over $99. But the point is, you know, we're always out of the Ranger buckets, which is the lab-verified organic storable food supply. You know, we usually sell out of them just almost instantly. And I thought we were going to have a few thousand available for inventory, but so far we have only 1,000. And they're working on subsequent thousands of Ranger Bucket sets. So again, as of today, Valentine's Day, the 14th, 12 noon central, if you go to healthrangerstore.com, you'll be able to pick up one of the Ranger Bucket sets with free shipping in the 48 states while supplies last, which usually is only a matter of sometimes a few minutes or a few hours. It just depends on what's going on. One time it sold out in like 28 minutes. The other time it took 4 hours. But they are available, and you know, I'm letting you know. And of course, your purchases help support our entire infrastructure and operation and Brighteon.com, naturalnews.com, and everything. So thank you in advance for your support. Now, getting back to the main story here. So just to summarize, so the Chinese Communist Party discovered that this Johnson & Johnson drug called Daratumumab is kind of the antidote against their new engineered biological weapon that Dr. Yen says that they're releasing at the Olympics right now to try to unleash a new wave of hemorrhagic fever across the world. And the way that hemorrhagic fever works is it causes the body to overexpress CD38, a glycoprotein. And this Johnson & Johnson drug suppresses CD38. Now, let's back up to late 2019 and early 2020. Before most of the world knew about SARS-CoV-2 or COVID, China was running around buying up every mask and every piece of PPE, you know, personal protective equipment, the latex gloves, the body suits, the face shields, everything. They were buying all that up all over the world. And I know this firsthand because I know people who are in the business of distributing, you know, protective equipment and so on, you know, biosafety level 4, BSL-4, you know, type equipment and so on. China was buying up everything in Europe, in North America, all throughout Asia, and even South America at the time. Why? Because China knew what they had released. They knew they had unleashed COVID on the world, and they knew that there would be a global run on PPE. Well, right now, China is buying up, according to Dr. Yen, buying up all the Daratumumab. That's a tough drug name to remember. They're buying all that up everywhere they can get it, and that's a Johnson & Johnson drug. So China is, in essence, hoarding that drug because, again, it is the antidote. So what that's going to cause, is just like what happened in early 2020, where the world ran out of PPE. Like, there were no masks. Remember that? Through really most of 2020, there were no masks. You couldn't buy latex gloves. I remember we had trouble buying the gloves for our lab. Couldn't buy PPE equipment. And then a lot of employers were making their employees wear the same silly cloth mask like 5 days a week, to the point where the mask became this horrific petri dish of like lung bacteria, you know, and I don't know, snot and mouth bacteria that people were then breathing into their bodies. And, you know, of course people got sick. It's crazy to capture all your own snot and then breathe it back in. Sorry. That's not a good way to, you know, to be healthy, but China caused that, and now they're causing something similar, apparently, with hoarding this Johnson & Johnson drug. So they're leaving everybody else without any kind of a solution here. How's the world going to deal with a hemorrhagic fever, nanoparticle, or virus? And by the way, those can include Marburg, those can include Lassa, Ebola. What else is in that category? I don't know, but they're all super nasty, you know, just horrific assaults on your system. And by the way, if something like that is real and starts getting spread around everywhere and sprayed on people and released in the cities, like 12 Monkeys, you know, the movie. That is not a time to have a cavalier attitude about, oh, I don't need masks and I don't need, you know, gloves and I don't need to be afraid. I'm just going to walk out in public and just, you know, life is normal. No, when you have a 35% kill rate, which is actually, there are higher kill rates for Ebola, but you have a 35% kill rate, which is common for Marburg. That is not something to say, oh, I'm just going to tough it out and go to the party anyway, or go to the baseball game anyway, because I can take vitamin C at home. You know, vitamin C is not going to save you from something like this. So I just want to put that out there. You know, I'm not afraid of being killed by COVID. I mean, I got hit with something that was probably related to that. And, you know, it took out my voice for 3 days and so on. But I had ivermectin and I was slamming ivermectin. And you know about ivermectin, you know about quercetin, you know about zinc and hydroxychloroquine and, you know, all the other supplements and things that work, including the ivermectin drug that works to beat, COVID. We know about all that. We don't know jack squat about beating Marburg. I don't want to have Marburg. I don't want to be like flinging, you know, blood out of every orifice all over some emergency room where it's like an impressionist painting of blood spatter all over the walls. No, because that's what those fevers do, by the way. That's what they do. That's how they spread. It's one of the mechanisms that the patient who has, like Ebola, you get Ebola, and the patient who has Ebola, like flinging Ebola because they're going into convulsions because the, you know, the viral nanoparticles are eating their organs from the inside of the, and their muscles going into total convulsions, and they just start flinging the blood out of their eyes and ears and mouth all over the other healthcare providers. And then they get hit with the same nanoparticles that attack their systems. And then boom, you know, it's a disaster with a very high fatality rate. You don't want to be anywhere around that. And I'll tell you in advance, you know, I am not someone who lacks courage, but I am a safety-minded individual. If Dr. Yen is correct and this stuff starts spreading around North America, I'm going to self-quarantine. I'm serious. I'm not even going to the grocery store at that point. I will self-quarantine until that thing burns through the population. I'm not taking a chance with that at all. Bad enough having COVID for a few days or whatever that was. But let's dig into CD38 a little bit so that we understand how this thing works. Remember, CD38 is a glycoprotein. It has an immunomodulatory role. So if there's an overexpression of CD38, it actually can suppress balanced immune function. In other words, it kind of disables your immune system. You know how right now the vaccines are causing vaccine-induced AIDS in people? You know, VAIDS, as it's called. The vaccines are killing the immune system. Well, if you get hit with hemorrhagic fever, it attacks your body. It upregulates CD38, apparently, at least as I understand it here, and it causes immunodeficiency. It also alters the expression of T lymphocytes. And as I'm reading here, it says it regulates the ability of antigen-presenting cells to stimulate antigen-specific T cells. So this is going down to a very deep core level of how your immune system functions, and it's creating an imbalance in that function so that your immune system cannot respond to exposure or infection in a normal way. In addition, and this is still from Science Direct here, quote, overactivation of CD38, which is what happens, has been shown to maintain a sustained calcium ion release, which contributes to cell impairment, loss of function, and cell death. So if you know anything about the health of your cells, you know that you have to have calcium ions, you have to have, you know, potassium ions, sodium ions, and so on. And there's a very delicate interplay between these various transport mechanisms. There are even, you know, pumps, essentially, not mechanical pumps, but chemical pumps that pump nutrients and literally electrolytes across cell membranes in order to achieve cellular physiological function that's healthy. The point is that if you, for example, if you had no salt, like no sodium in your system, you would die. If you had no potassium, you would die. If you had no calcium, you would die. You have to have all these things, like calcium ions, magnesium ions, and so on, in order for just for your heart to function, not to mention other cells throughout your body. Well, CD38 messes with your calcium ion balance, and it causes your cells to kind of sort of bleed out their calcium ions, which it says here contributes to cell death. It's like bleeding out your cells of calcium, which is, I know it's not something we normally think of how cells die, but that will absolutely kill cells. So then I went to PubMed and I did some research on daratumumab. That's the drug. So this drug is described as killing multiple myeloma and hematological tumors, or tumors of the blood. So going now to, let's see, another study in the from the NIH, National Library of Medicine, talks about how this drug, daratumumab, induces multiple myeloma cell death through multiple mechanisms, including cytotoxicity, antibody-dependent cell-mediated cytotoxicity. That's called ADCC. Now, that phrase sounds kind of familiar. Remember, antibody-dependent enhancement, ADE, is one of the mechanisms by which people are killed following vaccine damage to the immune system, where you have something called original sin, and the vaccines cause your immune system to overreact in a potentially deadly way to exposure to new variants that are slightly different from the original strain that you're vaccinated against. That's antibody dependent enhancement. Well, this drug kills through antibody dependent cell mediated cytotoxicity, meaning it's a very targeted cell death, but there's more. It also works through, quote, antibody dependent cellular phagocytosis, or what's called ADCP, as well as apoptosis, which means essentially convincing the cells to commit suicide. Okay. So this is how this drug kills multiple myeloma cancer cells, but the multiple myeloma cancer cells are only cancerous because of the overexpression of CD38, this glycoprotein. So this Johnson & Johnson drug is the first monoclonal antibody that's been approved by the FDA for the treatment of multiple myeloma. All right, now remember, as I promised you, we're going to get to some of the natural solutions to this. We're going to get to that here in the second half of this podcast. And what I'm going to bring you is a list of molecules from foods, things that you can grow or find at the grocery store that also suppress CD38. We're going to get to that coming right up. Now, before we get into that list of molecules and nutrients that can suppress CD38, got to share this news with you. The USDA has suspended all imports of Mexican avocados into the United States. Number one, I'm a little bit shocked and very disappointed. You know, if you know me, that the two most important food imports in the Health Rangers book are bananas and avocados. And without bananas and avocados, I'm having a very difficult time making my smoothies, as you may know, and feeding the monkeys out back. But, no, they're just goats. Don't worry. But the USDA has suspended Mexican avocado imports because apparently a USDA inspector in Mexico was threatened by a drug cartel member there. So according to Associated Press, U.S. health authorities made the decision after one of their officials, who was carrying out inspections in Uruapan, Michoacan, received a threatening message on his official cell phone. And that's from Mexico's Agriculture Department, said that statement. Okay, so number one, you may not know, or most Americans don't know, the avocado trade in Mexico, especially in Michoacan, is run by the drug cartels. And what the drug cartels figured out is that there's a lot of money in avocados, and if you're a regular buyer of avocados like I am, you know, by golly, there is a lot of money in those things because they're expensive. I must be drinking like $15 worth of avocados a day. I mean, it's crazy. It's becoming an expensive habit, not as expensive as Hunter Biden's habits, but it expensive nonetheless. Just an avocado habit alone can get kind of pricey these days. And so this year so far, avocado prices are up 31%. I know. And have you noticed this too, that the avocados you want to buy that used to be labeled, I mean, they're called large, but they're really medium. Have you noticed that? And avocados that I used to consider large, they're now called jumbo. And now they can be like $3 or $4 each, you know? It's like jumbo. These used to be just large. Now they're jumbo. And I was joking with some friends. It was like, buying avocados in America is like buying t-shirts in Taiwan. Large is medium. If you're an American who's ever bought clothing in Asia, you know what I'm talking about. Everything's one size smaller there. And like if you're a big guy like me, you know, if you're over like 6'1" and you're trying to buy shirts and stuff in Asia, you have to go with XXXXL, you know, otherwise it's a joke. So now we're going to have an avocado drought in America. And I'm frustrated about this, not just for myself, but for everybody else out there, because this is going to add to food inflation. And folks, you know, I've said this, the food riots are coming. We're going to have massive riots across America. Probably this year is what it looks like. I don't know exactly when, but who does food inflation hurt the most? Not people like me or probably like you either, but I'm talking about it hurts the people who are living paycheck to paycheck, people who are barely getting by, the working poor, so to speak. And, you know, every once in a while they would like to have some guacamole too, just like you and I, but avocados are up 31% and meat's up 70% and, you know, sugar's up and butter's up and milk is up and everything. These people, the day-to-day workers, are the ones who are getting economically slaughtered by this. And it's all due to a combination of money printing and lockdowns. Or I guess in this case, and Mexican drug cartels threatening USDA inspectors. I wonder what that threat actually said. I bet it wasn't that bad. You know, it's probably like, you better make sure you take a good look at the large and count it as jumbo. You know, that's probably what the threat was. I don't think it was a Mexican cartel threat like, we're going to cut off your balls and stuff them down your throat and hang you by, you know. No, that's, they save those threats for journalists in Mexico. Those are the kind of threats that you get if you write something against the drug cartels. Or I guess if you speak out against the vaccine cartels in America, then, you know, you get threatened with that kind of stuff as well in America. Just ask, you know, Steve Kirsch or Alex Berenson or Robert Malone or Peter McCullough or any of them. Everybody gets threats for telling the truth in America. But in Mexico, you get threats for telling the truth about drug cartels and how they're making all this money off the avocados. But the point is, the American people are getting hurt so badly by all this food inflation that the riots are inching ever closer. Mark my words. We're going to have food riots in America. But I'm going to move on. But my final advice to the Mexican Avocado Association is, if you want to have no problems with the U.S. government, just put a little tiny bag of cocaine inside every avocado pit and make sure they're shipped to Democrat-controlled cities, where the Department of Justice now has observers watching people shoot up with heroin and meth and street drugs, and they're giving out free crack pipes and vending machines. Believe me, the cocaine-stuffed avocados will go right along with that. No problem. You won't have any trouble with the inspectors at that point. Not any problem at all. And who knows, you might just save the life of an addict. Like, I came here to shoot up. And then I saw, well, dang, there's free guacamole over here. I'm going... gonna dip into that instead. You never know. Good guacamole can save a life. That's all I'm saying. All right. As promised, getting back on track for you here. CreativeDestructionMedia.com has a story. This is actually from yesterday. Okay. The People's Liberation Army launches hemorrhagic fever viral attack against the world during the Olympics. Okay. And this story is citing Dr. Yen, Yen Limong, who did the interview with J.D. Rucker that we mentioned. And Dr. Yen has tweeted out, quote, once the CCP released new unrestricted bioweapon to athletes in Winter Olympic, is quarantine helpful? Question mark. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a question she was asked. And then she answered, we must be well prepared, especially for antiviral hemorrhagic fever, but the CCP could infect other participants, then spread it globally. As how COVID got to the USA, it's the China-Italy pathway. Okay, so she's talking about COVID going from China to Northern Italy and then to New York City. That was, you know, 2020 in review. All right. Okay, for Creative Destruction Media, they're citing now that there's been a viral hemorrhagic fever, a small outbreak of 3 cases in the UK. A third relative is suspected. 2 new cases. Let's see. 3 are members of the same family. 2 new cases are among only 10 ever spotted in the UK in the first since 2009. So suddenly there's hemorrhagic fever in the UK. And again, if this is being released at the Olympics, this is going to go big over the next several months, but we'll have to wait and see if that happens. So now from the original story at Creative Destruction Media, well-placed sources have informed CD Media that the armed forces of the Chinese Communist Party have launched another virus on its own people during the Olympics in Beijing in order for athletes and diplomats to return home and infect the rest of the world, particularly the West. The virus has been altered in a lab to make the incubation period longer than usual, now suspected at 3 to 4 weeks, in order to allow visitors to Beijing to return home with no symptoms. And then, of course, after they get back home, you know, to France, Germany, UK, Canada, US, wherever, then, you know, a couple weeks later, it's like, whoa, starting to get some crazy blood symptoms, you know. That's the way this is going. The virus is said to be highly transmissible, causes bleeding through multiple orifices of the body. That doesn't sound good. The second wave of biological warfare comes as the COVID-19 phase is winding down. Our source has declared to have contacted appropriate agencies of the U.S. government to no avail in an effort to have those returning from the Beijing Olympics quarantined. No, no, no. You see, the quarantines are for you, Christians and gun owners and Trump support. You're the ones that are going to end up in the quarantines, not people who are actually exposed to hemorrhagic fever. No quarantines for them. Their job is to spread it. Okay, so that's the story. Now, let's continue with, let's get to the natural solutions to all of this. There's a doctor, I don't know this doctor, but in my research, I found that he had the best coverage of this, and his name is Dr. J.E. Williams. He's out of Florida, and he's described as a pioneer in integrative medicine, longevity, and quality of life. He knows Chinese and Ayurvedic medicine, naturopathic medicine, functional medicine, and so on, anti-aging medicine, cell rejuvenation. So it turns out that his expertise in anti-aging has some pretty profound applications to what we're talking about here with CD38. His website, by the way, is Dr., like doctor, Dr.J.E. Williams.com. If you want to go check out his website. I don't know anything else about this doctor, by the way. I've not interviewed him. I've never met him, but from the research I've done, he's got the best information out there right now on CD38, longevity, and something called NAD plus, which is nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide. Although I'm not going to try to say that again. It's just called that NAD plus. So here's what Dr. J.E. Williams teaches us that's relevant to us maybe surviving this next hemorrhagic fever bioweapon released by China, okay? There's a relationship between NAD+, let's just call that the good stuff, the good guys, and CD38, which is the bad glycoprotein that causes multiple myeloma and is overexpressed in hemorrhagic fever, okay? So NAD+ is good, CD38 is bad. When you have more NAD+, it suppresses your body's production of CD38. Now, I'm oversimplifying this, and I'm aware of it. If you want to know the full details, go to his website, drjewilliams.com, and read his blog entry called How to Reach the 100-Year Life with NAD. All right? So if you want to live to be 100, you want to learn about NAD. Now, just as a personal side note, looking at the world today, I'm not sure I want to be here at 100. really? It seems like that's a lot of suffering. But, you know, to each his own, if you want to live to be 100, you're going to have to do it with NAD or NAD plus. So I'm fine to leave at 85 or whatever, as far as I'm concerned. But here's what Dr. J.E. Williams writes about this that's relevant here. That CD38, remember, this is the bad glycoprotein. It suppresses your NAD levels. And also too much CD38 causes chronic inflammation. And then that inflammation triggers more CD38. So this is a vicious cycle. And then aging cells have been found to secrete inflammatory substances called senescence-associated secretory phenotype substances. That's almost a tongue twister. Those are called SASP factors, SASP. Senescence-associated secretory phenotype. And if you want to have fun with this and just inject some humor, just remember the cartoon cat character, Sylvester, and how he would pronounce it? It would be like, senescence-associated secretory phenotype substances. SASP factors, right? That sounds way more fun. okay, and this causes the condition that's known as inflammaging. All right, so I was close about that. I was guessing about what that's called. Inflammaging, okay? That's inflammation and aging together, like the worst of both worlds. It's like, oh, I'm getting old and everything hurts, you know? Inflammaging, that's what that is. And CD38 is involved in this even without hemorrhagic fever. So these scientific papers say that if you shut down the overproduction of CD38, you're going to increase your health span and longevity, and it's going to block certain types of cancer like multiple myeloma cancer, which is one of the worst types of cancers that you don't want to get. So when CD38 is overproduced, you have low NAD plus, the good stuff. And then this situation gets far worse. And then, according to Dr. J.E. Williams, he says that low NAD plus increases chronic inflammation associated with unhealthy aging, and it sets you up for heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, autoimmune disorders. It increases the risk of skin cancer and so on, even weight gain and metabolic syndrome. In other words, it's the worst of everything. The only thing that can make it worse is catching Ebola at the same time. Now, then he talks about how do you boost NAD plus levels with supplements and how do you regulate CD38 or kind of suppress CD38 using nutrition and supplements and food. And this is the part that I really wanted to get to with you. Okay, Dr. J.E. Williams says it helps to optimize NAD plus. It helps to get enough niacin and tryptophan in your diet and to take NR or NMN, which I'll explain here, to enhance NAD plus production, but you also have to inhibit CD38 activity. So you're like, what is NR and NMN? Okay. So NR is nicotinamide mononucleotide, NR, and let's see, NMN, which I wasn't familiar before, is nicotinamide riboside chloride. Okay. And Dr. Williams is recommending 125 milligrams daily of each of these. Again, NR is nicotinamide mononucleotide, and NMN is nicotinamide riboside chloride. Okay, I'm not going to make fun of the names. All right, now, I don't even know where to get those supplements, but I guess everybody can do their research on that. He says our body makes and recycles more than enough NAD plus when we're young, but as we get older, two processes occur. Number one, NAD declines, and then number two, CD38 builds up, breaking down more of the NAD plus. And this is, again, inflammaging, right? This is where I'm old and everything hurts. Okay. So over time it gets worse. What doesn't? And then he says that this process interferes with mitochondrial function. Remember, the mitochondria are the energy producers in our cells. And he says weakened mitochondria cannot produce sufficient energy. And that's how you have the malaise and low energy experienced by CFS, chronic fatigue syndrome. And this is a lot like what people experience during aging due to mitochondrial insufficiency and accelerated chronic inflammation. So, okay, you understand the science now? Did we geek out enough a little bit? So here we go. Here are the solutions according to Dr. J.E. Williams. Dr. Williams says there are certain classes of drugs that are currently being tested to target senescence, which is apparently, quote, the source of aging. I mean, I'm sure that's an oversimplification, of course, but there are senolytics drugs that, as far as I know, aren't available yet. So that's what Dr. Williams is talking about, natural compounds. Here are five natural compounds that are described as anti-CD38. Now, you're going to want to look at this in the article, the naturalnews.com article that I'm publishing on this, because these are all going to be a little bit difficult to remember and spell. The first one is taxifolin. Taxifolin. It's a flavonoid antioxidant known as dihydroquercetin. Oh, quercetin. You've probably heard of quercetin before, right? Quercetin, it's in onions. Let's see, it's in apple peels and things like that. This is found in a lot of natural foods. So I'm not sure about the dihydro form. I think that's actually one of the most prominent natural form in foods, but I'd have to check that. Anyway, taxifolin, he says, inhibits cancer cells, lowers inflammation, and it's useful in the treatment of cardiovascular and chronic liver disease. And where do you get this stuff? Oh, it's in food. You could just really go to DuckDuckGo or whatever search engine you use, type in taxifolin, and you'll find out what foods contain that. We're going to get to some of those, by the way. Apigenin. This is something I've talked about in previous podcasts. I know this is present in celery and many other just, you know, simple, raw, unprocessed foods. Apigenin, it's a flavonoid antioxidant, crosses the blood-brain barrier to lower inflammation, improve cell function, enhance brain health, and it has anti-cancer effects. Yes, it's found in celery. So if you're juicing celery, which I think is the best way to eat celery, juice it, you're going to get apigenin. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but who cares? Another molecule, luteolin, L-U-T-E-O-L-I-N, luteolin. It's another flavonoid found in plants and medicinal herbs, lowers inflammation, has anti-cancer properties, regulates estrogen metabolism. All right, I don't know exactly which foods contain that, but that won't be hard for you to find. All right, here's another type of flavonoid, an anthocyanin known as calistephin. Calistephin. Okay, C-A-L-L-I-S-T-E-P-H-I-N. Calistephin. It's a flavonoid that makes foods dark blue, like blueberries and pomegranates and wine grapes. Now, by the way, how many times have you heard me say, or even other nutritionists say, eat foods of different colors? You know, why do you want to eat eggplant? Because it's got purple molecules in it. The purple molecules are medicine. Those are anthocyanins, by the way. And there are anthocyanins in certain types of microalgae, by the way. But if you just go around the grocery store and you just focus on color, and I'm talking about unprocessed foods, not the garbage, you know, bright, oh, gummy bears, they're different colors. No, it's just different colors of corn syrup. I'm talking about you go to the vegetables, you go to the fruits, purple cabbage, people, purple corn. Purple's good, actually. There's a lot of good purple. You know, I grow a lot of hydroponic lettuce, and I love the purple lettuce. What's it called? The red oak leaf lettuce. You know why I love that and why I put it in my smoothies? I'm actually blending up salads in my smoothies every day because it's purple. And I know, because I'm the health ranger, I'm just looking at it, I'm like, purple, that's medicine. I don't even have to be able to name it or spell it or pronounce it. If it's purple and it comes from Mother Nature and it, you know, it's food, it's medicine. 100% of the time. So find yourself some purple carrots, purple corn. You can even buy purple corn chips, although that would not be considered a health food because it's probably fried in some cheap garbage canola oil or some genetically modified soybean oil. So that's poison. But if you can get like unprocessed or like baked purple corn chips, those might be good. But, check out, you know, blueberries. I'm a huge fan of blueberries. I love all kinds of berries, raspberries, blackberries, strawberries, blueberries, dewberries. You know, I do wild harvesting of dewberries on my ranch in Texas every year. Well, not every year, but on the years that there's a good harvest, I'll be out there picking berries. That's when the goats don't get them first. Walking along with the goats and they're like, oh, berries. And they rush over there and just eat them all. They don't even care about the thorns. Goats are like thorn resistant. I don't know if you knew that. They're totally thorn resistant. They don't care. Okay, but before I get too distracted, another anthocyanin is called curomannan, K-U-R-O, curomannan. This is an anthocyanin found in mulberry leaves, chrysanthemum, hibiscus, black currants, red raspberries, lychees. This is one of my favorite fruits, by the way, from Asia, and Peruvian purple corn. What did I tell you? Peruvian purple corn. And by the way, you can also find these types of molecules. I don't know if it's this one exactly, but if you can get purple potatoes and beets, you know, red beets have a lot of healthy molecules in them. I don't know if red beets suppress CD38, but we need to look at it. So here's just a list that are foods that are high in anthocyanins. And again, this comes down to the color pigmentation. This is also from Dr. J.E. Williams. He's citing acai, black plums, black raspberries, black rice. There's one you don't think of a lot. Black rice, and there's also purple rice, by the way. Blood oranges, which are, you know, really heavily pigmented oranges. Blueberries, chokeberry, Concord grapes, currants, purple corn, red cabbage, and red raspberries. So, actually, sounds like a delicious brunch to me. I would love to have all that stuff. And remember, food should be your medicine, you know? And these hemorrhagic fever viruses, even ones that kill, let's say, 1 out of 3 people, doesn't it make you wonder, how did the 2 out of 3 survive? Could it be that the 2 out of 3 possibly eat healthier foods and have these CD38 suppressing molecules circulating in their blood most of the time? I mean, I don't know. I'm asking a question. I don't know. It'd be awesome to do some research on that and find out if that's the case. But it certainly could be a strong factor. Okay, so to lower your CD38, this is, again, from Dr. Williams. This is his public advice. And just to be clear, you know, you should always work with your naturopath because, you know, Dr. Williams is not your doctor. I'm not your doctor. You got to do your own research with your own qualified people. Decide what's right for you because you might have specific health challenges or who knows what. You might be on 15 prescription drugs, in which case you probably shouldn't even be listening to this. I don't know. I'm not even sure how you could listen to this. If you're on 15 drugs, you're on the wrong podcast. There's a CVS Pharmacy podcast, like a frequent flyer club for Big Pharma. You should go to that podcast. But if you're not taking 15 pharmaceuticals every day and you want to lower your CD38, here's what Dr. Williams says. Number one, take toxifolin. That's the dihydroquercetin. 50 milligrams daily, he says. And he says, get it from Siberian larch tree. Now, I'm not familiar with the Siberian larch tree. I don't have any plans to go to Siberia. I don't know if there are supplements from that. Maybe there are, but it's something to check out. Okay. Second thing, take apigenin derived from grapefruit, he says, 50 milligrams daily. And I'm also thinking maybe you might be able to just grow or juice a bunch of celery or juice superfoods. I wonder how much apigenin you could get from juicing each day. I don't know the answer to that, but that would be something interesting. He says take luteolin 50 milligrams daily. And again, same question from my part. Where could you get luteolin from foods? And is found in what medicinal herbs is a flavonoid. So where can you get that naturally? I mean, I'm always an advocate of getting your medicine first from food and then second from supplements. Sometimes supplements, of course, have a major advantage because it's all concentrated and it's more convenient. You don't have to grow it. You don't have to, you know, juice it. You don't have to work it. You just take the supplement. So it's got its place, obviously. But I always say first, see if you can get your medicine from food because there it's in the natural plant-based molecular format. It's unprocessed. It's, you know, biocompatible with the way your body digests foods and separates molecules and absorbs molecules. It's the way your body was meant to get medicine is through food, not through pharmaceuticals or needles, for God's sake, or, you know, chemotherapy injections. That's not medicine. That's suicide. Okay. But the fourth item here from Dr. Williams is to eat anthocyanin rich superfoods, including purple corn extract, pomegranate juice, purple grapes, blackberries, and red onions. Oh yeah, red onions. I didn't mention that. That's another great example. By the way, there are also varieties of purple tomatoes that absolutely work in these categories. So if you're into growing your own amazing, I don't know, heirloom or brandywine or super purple tomatoes. That's medicine too, folks. That's medicine. That's Mother Nature synthesizing medicinal molecules for you for free out of air and water, basically. Remember, the plant gets carbon from the air via carbon dioxide, and the plant gets hydrogen from the water, and it gets oxygen from the water or the air. And so most of these molecules that we're looking at, these anthocyanidins, and they're also what are called proanthocyanidins and so on. Most of these, I can tell you right now without even looking them up, they're made out of nothing but hydrogen, carbon, and oxygen. They're just H, C, and O in different configurations, and that's all made out of air, and water. And that's it. So again, plants are making medicine for you. Just like the other day, we're talking about sprouting broccoli sprouts in order to create your own sulforaphane, which is a brain repair and an anti-cancer nutrient that's found at very high levels in broccoli sprouts. Well, where does the sulforaphane come from? It comes from the air and the water. I mean, the seed makes it. It's the miracle of Mother Nature. So the same thing's true with anthocyanidins and all of these other flavonoids and so on. I love this area of research. I love to know what's in these foods and how amazing it is that Mother Nature synthesizes this for you for free. I think it's mind-blowing. Now, one point worth mentioning in all of this is you'll notice that these foods that we're mentioning, you know, acai and what, blood oranges and blueberries and chokeberries and so on, purple corn, red raspberries, these are not foods that are low cost. So as food inflation continues to get worse, and I believe it's all being engineered on purpose, especially people who are living paycheck to paycheck, the pricing of these healthy foods that can potentially prevent cancers and diseases and infections and inflammation and so on, and maybe even help save lives versus hemorrhagic fever, the prices of these foods become out of reach for even sometimes middle class people. And again, I think that's all by design. And it's the idea, I think, from the globalist point of view is not only do they want to build and release bioweapons to achieve global depopulation, but they want to make people really, really unhealthy at the same time. And I think this has been going on for decades. And I think it's fluoride in the water, it's pesticides in the foods, the organophosphates interfere with cognitive function and so on. It's the heavy metals in the food. You know, we've talked about lead arsenate as a pesticide. We've talked about mercury in dental fillings, which are still used, amazingly. And we've talked about cadmium in certain crops like cacao and coffee and so on. And lead in turmeric. Lead is very common in turmeric and other certain types of root crops, root vegetables. So I think there's been a multi-decade effort to really poison people, including the advice from the 1980s and 70s, like, you know, stop eating butter and eggs and just suck down margarine, you know, and all this crap oil that's high profit, amazingly. So I think there has been an effort underway to just mass poison the population for a long time. But the people who are in the know and the people who have enough money to afford this, and that's the sad part. I wish everybody could afford really healthy food, but by the way, I'm offering solutions on how to do that. But right now, only really, I mean, people who are willing to spend a lot of money on food, only those people can access the fresh berries, you know, the blueberries, blackberries, and all these types of foods that contain these molecules that have such dramatic potential for preventing disease or preventing death or even preventing accelerated aging and things like that. So in my mind, this gets down to the importance of learning to grow your own food using very simple, low-cost, off-grid methods. And that's why I've talked about that. You know, the non-circulating suspended net pot hydroponic systems that I've shown on video. If you haven't seen those, check out my videos on Brighteon.com. It's called the Kratky method, K-R-A-T-K-Y. That's the last name of a professor, I think, from the University of Hawaii, who did some research on this, but he's not actually the original inventor, but he did document some of this. So I grow a tremendous amount of food and natural medicine using this non-circulating system. So there are no pumps in it. There's no oxygen diffusers. There's no hydroponic pumps whatsoever. And I don't even use lights for the ones that I grow in kind of like a greenhouse setting, but I also grow indoors using artificial lights as well. I actually grow in both contexts. I grow different crops in different ways. I'm growing the strawberries outside right now, although we're getting some cold weather, so I've had to protect them. But using the non-circulating hydroponic system, you can grow red cabbage, okay? So you can grow anthocyanins, and you can grow masses of red cabbage for virtually free. I'm talking pennies. And remember, there's no soil, there's no weeding, there's no electricity, there's no pumps, there's no tilling. It's the simplest, it's almost, I don't know why the whole world doesn't use this, frankly. It's just the easiest way to grow food off-grid anywhere in the world for just a few pennies worth of nutrients. And most of those nutrients, by the way, are calcium and magnesium, a little bit of iron. Then you gotta, you know, monitor the pH and everything. You need water. You do need a TDS meter, but those are low cost as well. The whole system is just dirt cheap. So think about what you can grow that has purple in it. Almost any food that has purple in it, whether it's the red oak leaf lettuce or the purple cabbage, or I don't know, whatever else we can think of, maybe purple carrots, like, what they call it, like red dragon carrots and things like that. You can grow these types of systems. You can grow these crops in simple systems, even carrots. You can grow carrots in coconut core. You can grow carrots on a raised bed or something. You don't need elaborate systems to grow carrots. You just need the right seeds. And then those carrots are going to synthesize the anthocyanins that can help protect you from this inflammation and aging and CD38 and so on. I mean, I bet you never thought like, oh, there's going to be a reason one day to eat purple. here it is. And I bet you never thought it was going to be related to China, biological weapons, and the Olympics. It's like, I'm supposed to eat purple. Why? Because why? Yeah, well, that's what we just went through. Eat purple. Eat more purple. Well, and also, I mean, when it comes to foods, eat black. I mean, Any food that is dark, like blackberries, you know, has these kinds of molecules in them as well. Eat dark plants. I guess we could say POCs, plants of color. Maybe you'll get politically correct points or something. Say, I really support POCs. And they're like, oh, that's awesome. That's great. You're really progressive. I'm like, yeah, plants of color, you know. I'm really eating a lot of POCs these days. You're going to get some weird looks, but whatever. But, you know, heck, as long as we're bringing in race. Isn't it interesting that the white stuff that you buy at the grocery store is all really bad for you? I mean, almost all. Like, think about white bread. what is white bread? It's bread that's almost devoid of nutrients. It's like the absence of color is an indication that this is not wholesome food. Think about like white mashed potatoes or something, potato starch or other starchy, you know, pastas and macaronis. The whiter they are, the worse they are for you. Think about it, right? Like white rice versus whole grain, you know, brown rice or other more complex rices and grass seeds and so on. Jasmine rice, which I'm not even sure if that's actually a rice, but whatever. Eat the spectrum. We're going to get into like rainbows and everything, but seriously, eat the whole spectrum. Eat the rainbow. I don't care. Say what you want. Eat all the different colors. This is what matters. Did you know that a lot of the health benefits that are attributed to the Mediterranean diet are also things that make Mediterranean foods look beautiful? You know, you look at a Mediterranean diet dish, you just physically look at it, you're like, wow, that's a work of art. I mean, if you have someone competent making it, it's got different colors in it. It's got this balance. It's got harmony, right? And then when you eat it, it also has harmony in terms of what it's doing with your body. Whereas if you're just having this, I don't know, processed slop somewhere, it's like bland looking, and it's also bland in terms of its nutrition. There's not much in there. You know, food that's good for you should look interesting. It should look like a lot of different molecules are in there. You know, like a fruit salad. There should be more than just melons in there. There should be like berries, you know, and grapes. It should be interesting. Lots of different colors. That's an indicator. This is one of the reasons why our eyes, why when you look at bright, shiny fruit, your mind goes, oh, that's food. Why do you think they make Coca-Cola cans bright red? Because your mind is wired to say, oh, look at that bright red color. That's fruit. And then you drink it and it's sugary. Oh, that's fruit. You know, your body's hardwired to look at bright colors and to say that's nutrition. So of course the companies like Coke and Pepsi, they hijack those signals and then they trick you. If Coca-Cola was actually colored in a way that was consistent with its lack of nutrition, it would just be gray. It would be bland. It would just this vast wasteland of non-nutrition. Well, they wouldn't sell any Coca-Cola if it were that. This bland, gray, horrible looking can. You know, with acid in it. What acid do they use in that? Oh yeah, phosphoric acid. It's like, yeah, we can use this to clean the rust off battleships, you know? And you can drink it for a while until you get, you know, blood sugar imbalances or what have you. So use your senses to look for colors in foods, but only in the real fresh produce section, the natural products section. Don't trust the artificial colors, obviously, anywhere else in the store. I mean, if artificial colors were nutrition, then Lucky Charms would cure cancer, but it doesn't. And avoid heavily processed foods, obviously, and things that are just too white. It's just white bread, white rice, white flour, white, it's just, wow, really? Come on. Are you trying to just take all the nutrition out of these foods? And the answer is yes, they are. Okay, let me wrap up today. I hope that was valuable information. And another reminder that, by the way, if you eat healthy, you're actually preventing everything. Really, if you just eat healthy normally and do some juicing and have some superfoods, make some fresh foods and, you know, take in all these different nutrients from all these different foods, you're already preventing cancer and Alzheimer's and diabetes and heart disease and high blood pressure and obesity and osteoporosis and hormone disorders, just on and on and on. And you're also preventing probably hemorrhagic fever and flus and influenzas and SARS-CoV viruses and whatever else they throw at us. Your thing is, I mean, yeah, like we did today, we can go through and talk about the mechanisms and we can talk about the glycoproteins and the molecules. But if you don't and you just eat well, you get all the benefits anyway. You don't have to know why all these foods are saving your life. They just do it anyway. right? You just have to trust that real medicine comes from Mother Nature, folks. Real medicine looks delicious and it tastes delicious. And I dare you, if you're taking pharmaceuticals, taste one of them one time. Let your tongue tell you whether that's good for you. Instead of just swallowing the capsule, open it up. Dump that powder on your tongue. Try that out for a second. That's not food. Yeah, no kidding. Your tongue just told you that's not food. Taste the things you swallow is all I'm saying. You know, because your tongue, your whole sensory system is there for a reason. And by the way, after doing this, I want to make a blueberry smoothie, frankly, because I haven't had one for a while. I'm kind of overdue for blueberries. I like to mix blueberries with flax seeds, even though they don't like to actually go together that well. I like to add blueberries and flax seeds because the rich, oily texture of flax seeds kind of creates a blueberry ice cream type of texture, at least in my mind. Try it out yourself. I'll do blueberries and bananas and flax seeds, and then I'll use, we have this at our store. It's a Super C fruit powder that's multiple fruits all together. I'll put in a scoop of that with the blueberries, and then I'll blend it up, and then at the very last minute, I'll add some whey protein. I have to do that at the end because the whey protein doesn't like to mix with blueberries, causes the blueberries to actually sort of coagulate a little bit. So you have to drink it within a few minutes or it'll start to separate. But hey, it's because it's, you know, it's natural. There's no artificial emulsifiers. There's no hydrogenation or garbage like that. It's real food, but I love blueberry smoothies. That's how I make them. And let me plug a couple of things here that I think might also be valuable to you, but I'm finished with wrapping up the natural solutions there, but there's some other things here that might be of interest. Jonathan Landsman's summit is coming up soon. It starts March 1st. It's called the Cardiovascular Docu Class. I strongly encourage you to watch the trailer, the preview, find out all the doctors who are involved and what you're going to learn from this, because the subhead of that event is discover the hidden causes of high blood pressure, heart attack and stroke, plus how to regenerate and repair the heart naturally. Oh yeah, who wouldn't want to know how to repair and regenerate the heart, especially in this age of spike protein shedding, you know, your friends and relatives dumping spike protein all over you and then your body has to process that. It's like, man, that's how rude. It's just like dumping spike protein all over me and now my heart has to deal with it. Well, check out this summit from Jonathan Landsman. You can go to it at naturalnews.com/stopcardiovasculardisease.html. Again, the web address is naturalnews.com/stopcardiovasculardisease.html. I think you'll really enjoy that course. Also, I got a nice shirt from Canada here from a company called Red Pill Prince. And that's their website, redpillprince.com. And they are based in Canada. The reason I mention them is because of all the amazing, you know, freedom convoy, trucker convoy activity happening in Canada right now. And for those of you who want to get some good shirts to wear to the protests, you can get them from what is it again? Redpillprince.com. It's not a paid sponsorship or anything. Since they're in Canada, you can probably actually get delivery in Canada. So for those of you in Canada, that's a great place to go. You know, where right now, you probably can't get shirts from America because the bridges are all closed down thanks to the trucker convoy, which I fully support, right? So, but a lot of packages are not necessarily making it across the border for now. So, if you're in Canada, order your shirts from redpillprince.com in Canada. And then I want to mention, I'm interviewing the founder of the satellite phone store. You've heard me mention her name before, Tina. I'm actually going to get her on an interview with her and myself and Steve Quayle. We're doing that interview later today. The satellite phone store is found at sat123.com. And by the way, If you're thinking about a use case for satellite phones, think about if the police turn off the cell towers in Ottawa and just turn off everybody's cell phone access when they try to raid the truckers, right? Or make arrests or whatever nefarious plans they have hatched up. Sure, it would be great to have a satellite phone to be able to make calls from anywhere in the planet, right? So another use case for having a backup emergency phone that does not depend on cell towers, because evil, vicious governments can shut down cell towers when they don't want people to see what they're doing because they're, you know, violating human rights and committing crimes against the people and so on. So if you want to check out a satellite phone for that use, or, you know, for other uses, you might be somewhere where there is no cell service. Check out SAT123.com. And then finally, just a reminder that the Ranger Buckets, we've got 1,000 sets available today, beginning at 12 noon Central, shipping for free in the continental United States. Probably not shipping to Canada, given the current situation with the bridges. I don't know. Might take a while to get them to Canada. But if you're in the 48 states, and we are shipping also to Alaska and Hawaii, but that's not free. But if you're in the 48 states, free shipping for the Ranger Buckets. Just go to healthrangerstore.com and search for Ranger Buckets, and it'll bring it right up for you. One more note, I have an interview with Attorney Thomas Renz that should be posted later today, and it's a bombshell interview, I think it is, from last week. I think I interviewed him, what, was it Thursday or Friday? We're getting that posted. You won't want to miss that. Thomas Renz, he is a real courageous fighter for humanity. That'll be up on my channel on Brighteon.com. But welcome to the new week, folks, and happy Valentine's Day for those of you who are in the Valentine's mood, I suppose. Remember, don't buy anything from Hershey, because Hershey interrogates their Christian employees about their vaccine habits. So don't support Hershey. If you're going to buy chocolate, get like raw cacao that's certified organic from somewhere, you know, trustworthy. Don't buy like processed garbage fake chocolate from the grocery store. You know what I mean? Like those chocolate Easter bunnies. You know, it's like, what is this? Just chocolate flavored sugar, basically. Oh, that's amazing. In the shape of a rabbit. Okay. Whatever. In the meantime, eat some more blueberries. How about that? All right. Thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Talk with you again tomorrow.